The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line. It's hour number 2 on a Friday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside here as we go over a lot of things coming up on a Friday. We'll go to the world of Major League Baseball as we try and stay up here. Always fun to get after a Friday slate. Let me sneak this in, though, Donnie. Was there anything that jumped out from you from yesterday's board of Major League Baseball games? Yanks were tied 7-7 late with the White Sox. All of a sudden, they won that game huge, 15-7. I know that the Phillies and the Dodgers played a really good game. Yeah. Anything jump out to you from the baseball slate yesterday?
Yeah, one that hurt me earlier was we were taking the air on Moneyline. Like, you know, let me get in late on this Mets game, which was an over 4.5. They only scored 4 runs and only had 5 hits in that game after a nice start. That surprised me a little bit, but no surprise that the Mets won that game overall. But also, again, you're talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. This is so interesting here because you have a game with Zach Wheeler on the mound. You have a huge lead late. All you have to do is bring in your bullpen to say, just put a fire out, right? Mm-hmm. Just give up. I always joke about this. Give up a home run, get an out. Give up a home run, get an out. Give up a home run, get an out. You win the game. And how crazy that sounds, where you'd still win the game easily. And the Phillies find themselves 7-7 in the 8th inning, still with a runner on third with one out, and they escaped and actually won that game 9-7. But it's not a good look for the Philadelphia Phillies, where you're just trying to get out from amongst that ridiculousness over the past 2 years from the bullpen, and it just seems like it's catching them. In a week's time, Kevin, last Thursday, up 7 runs in the 9th inning, lost that game. This game had another massive lead in this one and let it slip away, but actually came back to win that. Those are the ones that had my eye last night, but also the Yankees, 15 runs. That's going to be a team to tangle with here once this weather starts getting good and maybe their pitching settles down. Because if they don't need great pitching to start, watch out for the Yanks, man.
Yeah, I tell you, it was such an interesting game. You know, Stanton hits 2 home runs within the first 3 innings. You're like, all right, this should be solid here. But Moncada hit a 3-run shot, ties it up. And then Aaron Judge gets a little, basically soft dribbler up the middle with the bases loaded, beats it out to first base. Glaber hustles. They score 2 on an infield single. And then the party just kept going. Stanton with a single. Donaldson then hits a 3-run shot. I mean, 7 runs there. So like 15-7 is a wild final score. Hopefully we can find some games on today's slate that look just like that. We're starting some new series as we always do on a Friday. And we're going to start this off in Miami. The Marlins, a home dog going up against Corbin Burns and the Milwaukee Brewers. How about it? We haven't listen, 7.5s have become custom. We haven't seen many 6.5s, though. Juice to the under, mind you. I have a feeling, Donnie, that this is another under lineup here in Miami.
It's kind of crazy here, too, because I'm looking at an odds board right now, looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook odds. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's showing a 6.5 here, but I'm also seeing some outlets here listed at a six. So you brought that question up. Are we actually going to see like a 5.5 at any point here in the Major League Baseball season? I don't know if we will, if it might be quite juicy, but this is one of those games that does scream under. Now, having said that, Pablo Lopez is a very good pitcher here for the Marlins. 3.36 xFIP on the season, decent strikeouts, 26% of the batters, not giving away many walks, but also solid both left and right side of the play. Now, in order to score runs typically in today's Major League Baseball, Kevin, how do you do it? String along three singles to get a run? Not typically, like you saw last night for the Royals, but that's another story. Usually, it's get a walk and somebody hit a two-run home run. And the reason I bring this up, take a look at Lopez, who's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, versus lefties this season. An 0.82 ISO power number, and to righties, an 0.36. So forget about the extremely low weighted on base average that he has. If you're not getting on base and nobody's being able to drive the baseball into the gap or hit home runs, it's tough to score. We bring in the radio audience here. Welcome into Friday. Hey, James Harden Friday here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh, SiriusXM Channel 159. Welcome in to the party. If you look at this lineup here for the Milwaukee Brewers, decent. First five guys in the lineup, plus numbers here on ISO power going up against Lopez. We'll see if it works out. But Burns on the opposite side, Mr. Strikeout Kevin, 35% of the batters he's faced this year. He's striking out, not a lot of free passes. And again, talking about low ISO power numbers to lefties and righties. And also, Kevin, low weighted on base averages to lefties and righties. And correct me if I'm wrong, Lone Depot Park down there in Miami is not Yankee Stadium. So this ball should not be traveling all too far down there.
Look, let me just say, though, as far as Yankee Stadium nonsense, the strikeout props are always super interesting. We know people love to get involved with those, right? Now, they've got an 8.5 number listed here on Corbin Burns. They're going to make you pay for it, man, at a plus 120. Last go around, he had 7 strikeouts, but before that, actually went double digits in 3 consecutive games. Now, again, 8.5 is a ton for a strikeout prop, right? But it goes to show the expectations around Corbin Burns and what he brings to the table there for that team. And I might as well slide this in because we talk a lot. It's early season, and I just don't want it to get cut off by anything else, right? But, Donnie, the Cy Young race in the National League and in the American League there, you know, there's been a lot of shifting and moving around, but Corbin Burns, I think he's only got a 1-2 record. Clearly, with the way that he strikes people out, he's going to be in the mix all season long.
Yeah, because we want big statistics, right? You know, a couple years ago it was, you know, who's going to be able to win an award if you don't have a great record, like the Jacob deGroms of the world or, you know, King Felix, where they can be under 500. But we look at the numbers. ERA, we want to take a look at xFIP, and also the key factor, strikeouts. And if you look at this game today, 5 batters in that Marlins lineup, Kevin, all striking out more than 23% of the time. Yeah. He might be in for a big strikeout performance tonight.
Yeah, right now Corbin Burns is the favorite, but he's tied with Max Scherzer at plus 500. Rodon, the only other guy there under a 10-1 marker at plus 700. Just so you know, Verlander is your AL Cy Young favorite as things stand. We get back, preview some more Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on SportsGrid, talking some Major League Baseball. We continue to go through some of the games here today. How about, this would be a fun one here. The Nationals and the Astros. Valdez is a road favorite, as you would anticipate there, round minus 160. Nice total, checking in at an 8. Josiah Gray gets the ball for Washington. Is this a spot where you're looking for the Houston Astros maybe to hit, Donnie? What jumps out?
All right, so if we take a look here, this is very simple for us. Washington, not a very good baseball team, and they sort of figured out finally, Kevin, that if we just let go every good player we have, eventually we won't be good anymore. I don't know what type of business plan they have, but it's finally catching up to them here. If we take a look at Valdez, the lefty on the mound, at 3.79 xFIP, which is good on the season. He's not a big strikeout guy, but he's done very well, Kevin, versus lefties and righties. ISO power number for lefties, 0.43 to righties, 0.73. Fantastic stuff. And here's where we get into some of these. Sooner or later, teams have to start hitting here because I'm just going to read you, Kevin, the ISO power numbers versus left-handed pitching for the Washington Nationals in 2022. Hernandez, 0.93. Juan Soto, the best player in baseball, 0.85. Bell, 0.75. Big Boomstick Cruz, the guy you signed to hit, a 0 on the season versus left-handed pitching. A 1.03 for Michael Franco. A zero for Ruiz. 120, 130, and 095 to end it. So nine batters in the lineup, every single one of them. We're not even close to being a decent hitter against left-handed pitching. So it's okay, maybe not hitting for power, Donnie, but still getting on base. One player on this team above a 330 weighted on base percentage versus lefties. So if you're looking to try to bet a market where the Washington Nationals don't score, probably a good one. Or even if there's betting markets at the FanDuel Sportsbook that I don't know where they're at, where you can bet on a no-hitter, this might be the game for you with the Houston Astros.
Wow, my goodness, man. That is that's tough there. I can't wait for Juan Soto to get out of there. What a crazy thing. Maybe the single most valuable player in Major League Baseball. Just there. They're not going to pay
usually
him, right?
You build like around those guys, right? Yeah.
Yes. Like they're, but see, I know that this like is not a hot-button topic, but whenever you talk Nationals baseball, it'd be like he's not going to stay there, right? Like, there's no reason for them to pay him $500 million if they're going to just be terrible.
But also, you saw with the Nationals ownership where they're thinking about putting the team up for sale, and you saw those tea leaves coming, right? Eh, we're not going to pay Bryce Harper. I'm not going to pay Anthony Rendon here. Get rid of Max Scherzer. He's probably going to make some big money coming up soon. Trey Turner, he's going to want money. Let's get rid of him and get those prospects in here. And, oh, yeah, what are we going to do with Juan Soto? Well, we have to have at least some decent baseball players. But you're right. The pathway to victory in Major League Baseball is have very good farm systems and, you know, pay some superstars but have those fill-ins. You can't just say we're one of the worst teams in baseball and we have a $500 million player. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, I this doesn't line up there. We'll see how that all plays out. We'll keep things moving here. How about Mets-Mariners? New series getting underway at Citi Field here. Max Scherzer gets the ball, so it positions the Mets as, I believe, the biggest favorite on the board today, right around that Dodgers number, probably going to be close depending on closing numbers. But minus 230 on the New York Mets, 7.5 for a total. What do you like here with Mets-Mariners?
The 7.5 is an interesting one here because I do think there's a chance that this game goes over. But also, this is predicated on, you know, hit the alarm, Mets. The alarm. Look, hit left-handed pitching for once in the season because this is the game you're supposed to do it. Marco Gonzalez, one of those guys is easy to pick on. A 5.65 xFIP here on the season. He doesn't strike anybody out. Kevin, lefties. You're supposed to get lefties out, right? He's faced 29 left-handed batters on the season. 541 weighted on base percentage and a 423 ISO power number, so you flip it over and say, well, maybe he's doing better against righties, which technically he is because you can't do much worse. 90 batters he's faced, a 339 weighted on base percentage, which isn't disastrous, but it's a little bit high, but a 259 ISO power number is. But here's the crux of the argument that we get into with the New York Mets. You look at this lineup here. Outside of Escobar, who's due to bat in the 7-hole today with a 214 ISO power number versus lefties, not a single batter in that lineup is around that average point of that 175 that you look for. Even Pete Alonso, a 130 ISO power number. So say, are they getting on base? If you look at Brandon Nimmo, a 395 weighted on base percentage out of the leadoff hole against left-handed pitching here. That's great. Everybody else, Kevin, below the Mendoza line there. What are we doing here, Mets? This is one of those games which we talk about, Kevin, where I would love this. Circle it, because if the Mets were just being the Mets, you'd have six or seven batters in that lineup that would be plus going against a junk ball pitcher that should be in trouble with no bailout to say, hey, the American League's coming to the National League. At least I can strike out the pitcher. He should be under fire this entire game. If the Mets bats are supposed to wake up, this is the day that they should be able to do it.
Man, so that'll be a good one to follow then. That'll be a good one to follow there. I think Mets-Mariners is a series that I'm interested by as a whole, because the Mariners, if you remember, you know, DRS, obviously, last year had a big season. They came out of the gates playing some good baseball, but, I mean, this team is now 4-under. And I'm not saying that anyone's going to try and get right against the New York Mets on the road, but, Donnie, this team was 11-6, and they now sit here 14-18. I mean, that is... you know, 3-12 in their last 15 baseball games here. And listen to this schedule. 3 at the Mets, 3 in Toronto, 4 in Boston. I mean, that, you know, you want to close out the month, fine. 3 at home versus Oakland and then 3 at home versus Houston. I mean, there are not a lot of easy spots rocking up here for, again, a Mariners team, Donnie, that was out there aggressive in the offseason, right?
Yes.
Unlike a Cincinnati Reds, this, that, and third, aggressive in the offseason. So far, not putting W's up.
Yeah, stole some Reds players also, but you're right. This is one of those teams where you're trying to make those jumps. How about the two teams we're trying to make leaps forward? The Tigers, the Mariners? Tough 2022, tough one.
Man, it's a good point. You can combine their wins, and I think maybe you'd have as many as the Yankees for, like, best team in the American League. Again, it's been tough sledding there. We certainly have enough time to get at least one more game. We'll come back. We'll do a little bit more. I would like getting into Major League Baseball on a Friday here. Orioles-Tigers. Now, I actually love that we're going to get to this game here. Like, the Orioles are markedly better than Detroit at the moment. Like, they are playing significantly better baseball. They have a much better record. But Eduardo Rodriguez is supposed to be getting the ball here today. He is supposed to be the ace, I believe, for this Detroit staff. It's a plus 120 on Baltimore, whose offense has been a little bit better, so you're not seeing those 7.5s that we saw every game now. We get an 8 here for O's, Tigers. What lines up here, DRS, with these two teams?
Imagine, like, in Baltimore in this game, right, we're going to throw Lyles out there as your starting pitcher, a 5.14 xFIP number, doesn't strike anybody out. Even left-handed batters are just absolutely raking him. He's a right-handed pitcher, so they're getting off. You got five batters in the lineup that we're anticipating today from the Tigers that will be from the left-hand side. Here's the issue. We just talked about the New York Mets, right? The Mets have talent in their lineup, and there is some talent in this Tigers lineup. But if we take a look right now, again, ISO power numbers, Kevin, they have 9 batters that are going to come to the plate tonight. Every single one of them, disgraceful. And I won't read you the names. I'm going to just read you the 9 ISO power numbers. And then once again, prefaced by saying 175 is where you want to be. It's a solid number. Anything above that, great. Anything below that, questionable. Anything way below that, extremely questionable. 016, 106, 134, 085, 070, 108, 0, 100, and 043. I don't know where the runs are coming from. You have a terrible pitcher on the mound today for the Orioles. Maybe they are team total under team of the year, being the Orioles. We're probably headed for one today because you should rock Lyles on the mound, but this team has been horrendous at the plate, talking about the Tigers.
I still can't, like, yesterday there. 18 eligible, right? 18 batters.
Yes.
I can't, eligible's always
get the
there.
Eligible in there.
And you know when someone says, like how many, you know what I mean? Because down here, like, how many of them do you think are above the line, right? And it's like, all right, it's going to be a low number. I'm not going to guess too low. But you know what I mean? I never would have guessed zero. Zero.
Zero.
And yesterday they ended up scoring, I think, what did they score? Like 4
8 runs
in the first inning, Oakland? And
did they stay under that game? Yeah.
I wouldn't finish that. Snuck over. With a late 2-run homer. In the top of the 8 there. So, because I think it was a 7.5 spot there. But, I mean, again, it just goes to show how difficult, obviously, these teams match up there. But we're coming up against the break. We get to a little more Major League Baseball, and then we'll head to the NBA slate. Two huge, huge game number 6 is coming up here on the early.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the diamond, looking at some of this action here. The Blue Jays and the Rays are set to get after it. And this is actually... Now, this feels to me, maybe it's because I have such a close eye on the AL East, it feels like a big series. Now, it's funny because both of the pitching staffs as a whole have actually been pretty rough, giving up a lot of runs relative to the rest of the American League. But you see a 6.5 today, and that's because Kevin Gausman has been fantastic, which is how all of a sudden you got Toronto listed as a road favorite here. DRS, I mean, it's... Man, it would be pretty impressive if Tampa Bay's lineup encourages you to back them against Gausman. How does this one match up?
Yeah, it doesn't really impress me all that much because Gausman here, I should say the lineup for the Tampa Bay Rays, because Gausman, 254 xFIP, which is off the charts good, doesn't walk anybody, strikes out a lot of guys, dominating. I mean, you're talking about a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, up against left-handed bats, which he's going to face 1, 2, 3, 4, probably around 5 of them in the estimated lineup. How about this ISO power number of 017 and a weighted on-base percentage of 194? Now, if we flip it over to the opposite side, not bad for Rasmussen here, 3.83 xFIP number. He's dominated lefties and righties. Now, here's one of those games where I look at, Kevin, which I do think the under is probably going to come in. But you sit on the sideline and you cheer in this game. You say, well, why, Donnie, would you look at this under be cheering? because this is one of those where if you are, I don't even want to say a conspiracy theorist, because you saw Major League Baseball over the first month of the season say to themselves, something's really wrong. We messed up the baseballs. Nobody can hit. I don't know if it's the weather or not, but this is a bad look for our product where pitchers are upset, hitters are upset, fans are upset, and nobody knows what's going on. Hey, guys, tweak that calculation. Turn that humidity down in the humidors out here, because if this is a game that, let's just say, can get the 9 or 10 runs in the trop, then I might be looking towards the rest of this season and the rest of this month going, you know what? It might be time to start firing away, because this game, Kevin, screams 2-1, 3-2, 3-1, 3-0, somewhere in that range here. And that's where I think it's going. But I will be watching this game, because if there is any change in baseball, it's where the Yankees now are able to score 15 runs, the Phillies and the Dodgers are scoring 16 runs, maybe there's hope in baseball. But keep your eye on this game just for that alone.
The one thing I'll say, and really no matter who is on the mound when two teams like Tampa and Toronto meet, right? Now, if I tell you that Gausman goes 6 innings of work, 2 earned runs, that's solid, right? And I get you the same stat line from Rasmussen. Well, you're now at 4, right? You're 3-3 is a winner. That's always going to kind of be the thing when I look at a 6.5 spot there with these kind of teams, right? Because the other thing too, with a number this low with these lineups, is if one of these pitchers has an off day, gives up 4 early. You're asking so much from the other side of the play. You're looking for a shutout almost, right? All of a sudden there. Just to add the full perspective, Tampa's team total at home is a 3, and Toronto's a 3.5, but it's an even money to the over. So you can see the expectations for this game. Before we transition over to the NBA, any other games you wanted to mention? Anything else you've circled up, caught your eye here, worthy of mention before we move on here on this Friday?
I got to tell you here, like looking at your squad, the Bronx Bombers here going up against Vinny Velasquez today might be one of those options, because if you're starting to see the Yankees get hot at the plate, Vinny Velasquez in his 5.61 xFIP number, he does pitch very well to lefties, but we know the lefty batters aren't centric here to the Yankees lineup. And quite frankly, if he's even dominating lefties, one of the better left-handed batters hitting right-handed pitching this year is actually Anthony Rizzo with a .384 weighted on base percentage and a .284 ISO power number. It just lines up really well. So you have two options in this game. Are you going to want to lay a heavy number in this one? Maybe not. But if we're looking at a -168 price where I get Gerrit Cole against an offense that still hasn't woken up for the Chicago White Sox, because if we look at Cole's numbers, they're pretty good on the season. And if you look at the White Sox batters here, Kevin, only one weighted on base percentage above a .330 in this entire lineup tonight versus right-handed bats. And also, if you're taking a look here tonight, Vinny Velasquez on the mound. Am I missing something here? Am I missing? Because there doesn't seem like a Yankee tax on this game. I would tax this at a 2-1 because I would be shocked if Vinny Velasquez makes it through 5 innings tonight. Maybe a Yankees team total, maybe a Yankees parlay piece. They look pretty good tonight.
It's so funny because I totally agree. Now, again, you want to respect the, you know, a White Sox team that is supposed to be solid. But all, like, especially considering, you know, the way I think you and I view Vinny Velasquez through what he's, you know, because obviously you know him from Philly. And then last year during the season, that he himself was a circle guy. Oh, Velasquez is on the mound. We got to talk about the game. It's probably going to give a bunch of runs, right? And so the people that were with us last year during baseball season. So you see him. Gerrit Cole's been good. It does seem a little bit light, even though it's on the road there. We'll see how the number settles up, but it's an interesting spot, no doubt about it. We'll make the move over to the NBA. Here we go. Oh, this is going to be fun, man. This is going to be a lot of fun. We'll start it off in Milwaukee. Bucks lay 1.5, -120 money line, totals 211. Season on the line for Boston. Nobody has won consecutive games yet this series. Back and forth, back and forth. Back and forth. The Milwaukee Bucks are favored, but clearly they're not going to push this up to, you know, a 3, a 4. Right now they're telling you Boston's live in the game, Donnie. The Milwaukee Bucks looking to close it out. Do they get it done here in game 6 at home?
I don't think they do. And I'm just going to go with the way this series has played out, where teams have had success winning on the road. And again, we're looking at one of those lines that we saw even in the past. We said, wait, seems like a lot of disrespect here on Milwaukee, where they're at home in a game where they should be able to steal. And it's like a -1 or -1.5, which you're finding again today. So if I'm looking at it from a Celtics perspective, it's just the way the series has gone. Because quite frankly, you know what's interesting about these? A lot of these games where the team has had, you know, a 7, 8, 9 point lead entering into the fourth quarter, even double digits in the fourth quarter. Those leads have collapsed on your own home court, which is interesting. Usually they're the games where you close out series or take the advantage of saying, I have a double digit lead in the fourth quarter. We're at home. This is an easy win for us. And it hasn't been the case. I do think Giannis probably has a big game. He's listed at a 33.5 with a points prop, which is interesting because yesterday Luka Doncic was listed at a 33.5 on his home court, finished with 33 points. Now they wanted a blowout. Could this game be a blowout? Maybe, but I don't see it going that way. I think this game is going to be close. I think it's going to be tight all the way through. And also talking about superstars from another team, the Boston Celtics, they have a 29.5 for Jason Tatum on the road in a closeout situation game where they're going to fight for the life. So we're expecting big numbers out of the superstars, which if we do get big numbers, Kevin, out of the superstars, maybe that 211 comes into focus. Because if we don't get that game like we saw in Philadelphia where it was roughly out of the Sixers' control by the third quarter, early fourth quarter, if this game stays close, I think it has a legitimate chance to go over the total of 211.
You know, for me, the total in the series, right, because everything was under, and now you go two consecutive overs, right? And the thing with a total like that, hey, Donnie, they both scored 105. That doesn't sound noteworthy at all, right? You're basically home free then, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's an interesting spot there, but the way these have been, if you made me take the total, I'd rather go under it, but I like Milwaukee here tonight. I think the Bucks will get the job done. Again, you have to be able to close the door, but in Milwaukee, they had big leads going into both of those fourth quarters. One they held on to, one they completely squandered. This is why we always talk about the context on this show, right? You know, the other day, I don't remember what game we were talking about, right? But I think, you know, Connie Donnie made the point of, look, they put one in the win column, and that's what's important. I think it was maybe Golden State, Memphis. And yes, at the end of the day, if your option is to win ugly or lose the game, you'd rather win ugly. But that context carries us through the series. I think that's how you look. Those are the things that help you kind of figure out the way things are going to go. And my takeaway from the two games that were played in Milwaukee is the Bucks were much better when they were at home than the Boston Celtics. Even though, if you add the two scores up from the two games, Boston was better, right? The Milwaukee win was only by 2, and the Boston win was by 8, but it required big fourth quarter comebacks. I really do believe that this is the night Milwaukee gets the job done. We're going to do a lot of the player props. The Giannis number's huge. I want to ask you this question, though, before we get to the break here. We have a lot of time to get through the NBA. Crystal ball, Boston wins tonight, not by a huge amount. You know, 9 points, something, right? Something, you know, in the range, right? Good basketball game. What do you think about game 7? Is this Milwaukee's kind of, you know, last salvo here too? Or do you still give them a chance, even if it's in Boston in a game number 7?
Anytime you have Giannis, you're going to be giving them the chance. Also, keep in mind, some of the bigger news that we start to saw leak out was maybe Chris Middleton had a chance for Game 6. He's already been ruled out for Game 6. And could it be one of those where he does come back and can be effective in Game 7? Because certainly, it would anything that you would get out of Chris Middleton would be a plus as opposed to him not playing at all. But I do feel that the need that if Milwaukee doesn't win tonight, I'm not going to write up like, they had their chance to close them out, because quite frankly, they've won on Boston's court. And anytime you have Giannis, a 40-18-6 game is always on deck.
Yeah, the thing for me with if we get to a game 7, though, and it might happen, you're now, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, have to win a third game in Boston. That is such a big ask for yourselves, right? Hold home court down. Win this game here tonight. Again, if they got to a game 7, I'd probably still pick Milwaukee to win the game. The question is, what does that line look like, right? I don't think we do a 5.5 again. I could be wrong. I would guess, Donnie, 3.5. Do you think it would go that far down, or do you think they still stick with their 5s out there if there is a game 7 in Boston?
I think they would stick with the 5s out here, because if you're going to take a look at momentum coming in, is this a Celtics game where they win, you know, 106-105? Or is this a double-digit win for the Celtics where they really take command and head back home? That should be interesting to watch. But I think they stick with that 5 number. I do.
Yeah. They might. Maybe I'm doing more so what my number would be compared to what they'll actually do. We'll hit the props in this game. 33.5, as Donnie mentioned, for Giannis is huge. We'll hit the props in this game, and then we'll go over to the Western Conference, all coming up right here on a Friday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Number tonight, 33.5. Tatum not too far behind at 29.5. You started to see that workload for Jason Tatum carry him through some of the efficiency struggles that are still there. 30 and then 34 in his last two games, but he's not been at 50% shooting really since. The one thing I would say to me on Jason Tatum tonight would be the three-point shot, but I don't love the juice. It's 3.5 at minus 132. Basically, and this happens, the book is thinking the same thing as me. He's due for a big night, I think, from beyond the arc. 3 of 10 and 2 of 11 in his last two games. I think it's reasonable that Tatum can get hot, but I understand that the juice maybe scares you away. What do you think here tonight, Donnie, in the props market for Bucks-Celtics?
Yeah, it's almost like a correlation here, which is kind of interesting. It's almost like an opposite correlation for me, if that makes sense, because you look at the Jason Tatum prop and you see 29.5. My first thoughts are, on the road, he's probably going to go under that total with back-to-back 30-point performances here for Tatum. We'll see if he can get there. But then the Giannis Antetokounmpo, 33.5 points total, a minus 114 price. I do think there's a legitimate chance he gets that on his home court. But then again, I'm leaning towards the Boston Celtics. I do think they can win this game. It's almost like last night, like a flashback. Philadelphia 76ers, you see Joel Embiid at 25.5. What are we saying? You got to go under that total. Just hasn't been there all for the playoffs since he's been injured. He ends up with 20 points here. James Harden at 20.5. You weren't running to the window to take that number over, and James Harden didn't get that either. So it sounds kind of odd that even though I like the Celtics, and I do think the Celtics win this game, I'm not as excited on the Celtics props as I am on maybe taking a look at some of those home guys, like the Pat Connaughtons of the world out here. I think I just saw him on the 10.5 points. I mean, that's basically three threes and maybe a layup or getting to the line. He can do that. A Bobby Portis, who even though he hasn't been knocking down those three-point shots, the ability just to get 12 points in a game at home. Those are the type of guys that I probably would be looking for tonight. But I do think Giannis, if you're looking at the end of the game, what would surprise you more? Giannis with 26 points or Giannis with 38 points? Probably the 26 points, which again, that 33.5 is a high number. I think some free balls do go down tonight, but I'm looking for those secondary options on the Milwaukee Bucks as opposed to looking for those frontline options between the Bucks and the Celtics.
Yeah, so the one guy I want to bring up, someone that both you and I really liked going into game number 5 to go over his props, Jrue Holiday. Numbers 20.5. The one thing you could say is he's not had over 20 in consecutive games during this postseason. So that's a fair point if you think that he doesn't have the consistency. The reason I wouldn't be too bothered by it, though, is he still has not had a banner efficiency night. He was 4 of 7 from 3, I know, in game 5, but he was 9 of 24 from the field. At some point, can this guy finish around the rim and be able to hit a couple of these jump shots here that have been provided to him? I wouldn't mind looking his direction. And here's the other guy. Listen, dominated both games in Milwaukee. Al Horford, 22 and 30 in his two games in Milwaukee. Last game out, played 41 minutes and scored 8 points. He was 0 of 2 from 3. Maybe the Bucks are out there and they've got themselves a changed game plan as it goes to Al Horford from beyond the arc. But the asking price is still not too big. At a 12.5, I think you can go over Al Horford's numbers tonight there in Game 5. We make the move now to the West. How about Golden State has a chance to close it out again against the Memphis Grizzlies? The total here is 217, which is really interesting. It's an 8-point spread. The Warriors are laying it, and they're laying it big here. But it's the same roster that two games ago was catching closer to 11. So it shows there has been a change in perception around Memphis. Still catching a lot of points here, DRS. What do you think for Game 6 in Golden State?
And quite frankly, this is one of those series where you look at and say, this is where the Golden State Warriors are supposed to put their foot down here. But this is also where the Golden State Warriors are down 55 in the last game. You're supposed to say, all right, going on the road here, what are we going to do? Well, we don't have our best player in Ja Morant, but we still keep things close. Isn't this line baiting? Let's just take a look at it from a line perspective, Kevin, without breaking down the game. I see -8 the first inkling. He's got to be kidding me on this. This team just got shelled. I'm going to take the Memphis Grizzlies. They show a lot of heart. And then only to see Steph Curry drop 34 points in this game. Klay Thompson bounce back in the high 20s. And Poole return from his three-point efforts into his 23-point efforts. And away the Golden State Warriors go into the next round. That's what I anticipate. But at the same time, if I'm looking from a team that doesn't have that give up measure where most teams that lose their superstar player tuck and run. This team was sensational in the regular season and showing up here in the playoffs. I look at that. Maybe I'm just a sucker. And I say, like, they're setting you up, Donnie, with this line, Sam. It's 8 for a reason. The old adage, right? They don't just pick this number out of a hat. Like, you know what? This game, 8 points sounds, makes some sense. Put that number on the board. It's there for a reason. Golden State should win. But are you interested, Kevin, in laying 8 points in this game after what you just saw and also the previous game, knowing how closely that this Memphis team played Golden State without Ja Morant in their own building? I'll fall for it. I'll step in the bear trap here and take the 8 points.
Listen, it's a hard team to fade. So this is why I mentioned that total right away at 217.5, right? So the first game was a bang under. 101-98 is your finishing score in Golden State. So the next game flies over the number, but had nothing to do with Golden State, who's held at 95 points. Memphis went wild, scored a buck 34. Now, I think you've got two choices here. And I think you either go over the Memphis team total at 104.5, and say, we trust this team offensively in the absence of Ja Morant, or you actually play this game under. The big change, I think, without Ja Morant is they are a better defensive basketball team. That's easy to say because Ja is not a plus defender, but also the results now speak volumes. But similar to your point here about is the 8 too simple? Again, 217.5. What are we expecting from the Golden State offense? I mean, is this Memphis defense this much better that they're going to be able to ramp them down? Just to give the, you know, the full scope, the team total on the Warriors is 112.5. It was 116.5 game number 4 in Golden State. They scored 142 the first time they were in this building, right? But as the series goes on, I talked about Golden State not having the legs. Is this what we come to expect from the Warriors? Like, I feel like the total even, you know, tells us as much here, DRS, as the side does, that the Dubs maybe don't have the necessary legs to be able to run Memphis off of the court.
Yeah, it feels like in this game, as we try to handicap it or take a look at what makes sense, it's almost like you're spinning your wheels. Like you're trying to talk yourself into what makes sense here instead of just taking a look at the stone cold facts where when Ja Morant is out, it seemingly doesn't affect the Grizzlies, like at all. Like they're going to be competitive. That line was 10.5 last game in Golden State without Ja Morant. Man, they're going to get walked in this game. It's the playoffs. It's different than the regular season. No, it wasn't. They should have won that game there. Then they came to their home court as dogs again, Kevin, of getting plus 4 points. They easily won that game. And again, we had a 55-point lead there. So if I'm just lid to myself and say, okay, what's the common denominator? Ja Morant is out. How are they doing the regular season? Played really well without him. How are they doing in the playoffs? Playing really well without him. I'm anticipating them playing really well without Ja Morant again. I understand the stakes are ratcheted up. You can't lose this. Golden State is in a closeout game at home, and if the Splash Brothers get going early, it's going to be tough to stop. But there's something about this Memphis team that doesn't tuck tail and run. They are going to play basketball tonight. I looked at 8 points, and it makes some sense. The total is tough because I don't know which team I'm going to get, because you might be right here by saying, closeout game situation, better defenders here. Maybe they can match up a little bit better with the Golden State Warriors. So it could be, in effect, an over or an under look. I'm going to stay away from that because I think the side might be a little bit easier. And having said easier, that means like, yeah, coin flip easier, which means good luck tonight.
Well, but also, to your credit, though, to your point, Memphis can cover either way this goes. If it's super high scoring, we've seen Memphis get up and down. If it's low scoring, we've seen Memphis obviously be right in the mix as well. So I do think that makes a lot of sense. From the props tonight, look, I think you go same story here on Jaren Jackson Jr. Over the 17.5. He got 21 last game, did it with a great efficiency, didn't have to play a ton of minutes. Like, if that was a closer game, he probably would have hit round 30. I think you're getting yourself almost a bit of a discount. I get it. They're going back to Golden State. If, you know, classic. If it's not, you know, broken, no reason to fix it here. That's what jumps out to me. Where are you going here? Are you going back to Tyus Jones maybe here when we talk props for Warriors Grizzlies?
You might have to here because some things just make sense. You just ride them out. Ja Morant's out of the lineup. There's more options for Jones. He comes with a 19 and a 21-point effort. And keep in mind, that 21-point effort came only in 24 minutes played. The game previous, he actually played 41 minutes. We expect a big effort out of Tyus Jones. And maybe, Kevin, it's not actually the points market for Tyus Jones, which makes the most sense. Now, also keep in mind, you go on the road, It's a little bit tougher shooting environment. It's a high-stakes game here, closeout, where you need your best if you want to force a game seven. Tyus Jones' three-point prop here, is that a plus-money number? It's over 2.5 at a plus 126. The reason I bring this up, the past two games, Kevin, he shot 14 combined three-point shots. He's made 7 of those. So if he's going to get an open look, he has the propensity to knock those down. 4 in the last game in only 24 minutes. 3 in the game before that through 41 minutes. So if they're going to play well and he's going to get his points prop, sort of goes hand in hand for me. What would you rather take, over 16.5 or over 2.5 three-point shots made? To me, he's probably going to have to make those 3 three-point shots in order to get 17 points. And why not take the plus money price at a plus 126 on that factor?
Yeah, look, it's not a bad idea at all. One other thing to take a look at there, Steven Adams, points plus rebounds, who's now actually important in this series here. Yeah, he really is, and he's out there playing well. 10-15, 7-13 in his last two games of action there. 17.5 is not bad at all for a points plus rebounds. 25 and then 20 in those last two games. Steph, by the way, tonight's listed at a 27.5. You would think that Steph can kind of get off going back home, and I don't mind that. I'm interested in Jordan Poole props here. I mean, look, maybe it's done. Maybe at some point the pool stuff is done, but I'm curious what the number is. If it feels, you know, like a discount there, maybe you could try and get him to bounce back. I want to sneak in Game 7 talk, Suns-Mavs. Obviously, we won't have that opportunity to break it down, you know, before the game goes off. Now, hold on a minute. Is this game Sunday? I mean, what are we doing here now?
What is that? That time's got to change, right? If I'm looking at the FanDuel Sports right now, that time's got to change, doesn't it? That's based on we're getting
two games
on Sunday, which we're not going to get two games.
Yeah.
It can't be right.
Yeah. No, it's not. That game's not going to be at 10 o'clock. Wait a minute. Why is this game? Hold on a second now. Why are they not playing Saturday? Why did they build in an extra rest day? What did I miss here? All right, here we go. It's a 6-point. I get mad at
Dua Lipa's in town in Phoenix, I think, Saturday night. So.
Game number 7. First game 7 of this postseason, by the way. We'll see if the games tonight lead to another game 7. The Suns are going to be a 6-point favorite. The total is 209.5. Now, I'll just say this. A lot of game 7s have just completely sailed under the totals, and this has been an under series. I anticipate that makes its way down. But, Donnie, I do think the Suns win this game. I think they cover this game. I do still think they advance, but confidence has wavered, but it just feels like you have to trust them at home. Suns, Mavs, what do you like?
It does feel like you have to trust them at home because the home teams are the only teams to be trusted in this series overall. But usually you look at an NFL game or, you know, a college football game or an NBA, you have like a decided difference here. This series has been so off the charts that if you just come back and say, I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks at +6 and they get waxed by 25, you just scratch your head and be like, I don't see anything that makes some sense, because the game I just watched where the Dallas Mavericks look like they should have been the number one overall seed in the Western Conference, and then they can turn into the play-in seed in game 7. It's kind of crazy the way it matches up in a game. Look, I trust Luka Doncic. I really do. So I want to take the +6 points, just like I want to take the +8 for the Memphis Grizzlies, but I don't know. What a series. I don't know.
3 games in Phoenix. They've won them by a combined 57 points.
Don't believe it.
I mean, on average, 19 points. I mean, that's tough. How about that for man sending it to the weekend? Daniel, close it out here. Next, listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the week here on the Early Line. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wallace carrying you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we set it up here for Ben Stevens and the morning after right here on the Sports Grid Network. Man, we got so many things to go over today, and we hit on a lot of topics. The NBA schedule coming out. Hey, even NHL hockey has been very exciting, and a lot of Game 7s set up for Round 1. Hey, the Philadelphia Phillies actually got a win, because we don't want to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers, but when we talk star athletes who show up in the big moment, not like James Harden, we're talking about Luka Doncic, and you can listen up on this one. Hey, did you just hear that? Be quiet. let's celebrate Luka Doncic. I mean, what this guy is doing this year, coming into the season as an MVP candidate, and quite frankly, I believe was up there around the favorites, didn't end up winning it. But my goodness, what he's doing for the Dallas Mavericks is absolutely incredible. It's so much fun to watch. And also from a position of them trying to make the playoffs and improve their seeding, Luka Doncic hurt his calf in the process. So we might, quite frankly, not even seeing Luka Doncic here in the 2022 playoffs was certainly a possibility. But the fact that how he is playing and playing so, so well is incredible to talk about. Look at this series alone. Or should I just say, first of all, let's take a look at the playoffs here. And I always like to joke with the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic is unbelievable, but doesn't have that much talent around him, and it doesn't seem to matter. 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists per game averaging in the playoffs. Going up against the number one overall seeded team here with the Phoenix Suns. Take a look at what he's done here in these games. 45 points, 35 points, 26 points, 26 points, 28 and 33. Now, he's going to go for a game 7 in Phoenix, which could be absolutely epic from all sides here. Could they win this game? Quite possibly. But the one thing I do know, if Luka Doncic is hovering around 30-plus points in a game 7 on the road, he did everything he needed to do for his team, the Dallas Mavericks, to win. Let's celebrate Luka here on a Friday. We're going to get at least one more game out of this team and this guy on Sunday, and it should be celebrated absolutely. But you know what else we're going to celebrate? The Sports Grid Network continues next year with The Morning After. Stay tuned. Right on SiriusXM Channel 1.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.